all you heard was a dope addict. You never heard an intelligent word, opioid. What the hell is opioid?
I hear you on that.
No, that dope addict over there, heroin, that's all you'd hear. But once those kids started using it, white kids started using it, hey, it became an epidemic and it became a health problem.
This is the No Half-Stepping Podcast. I'm Leonard Jackson. Real people, real issues, real conversations with No Half-Stepping.
Hey, Grandma, thanks for coming to NoHalfStepping.com with Leonard Jackson. No Half-Stepping. This is my grandma, Mama Lee. She's been my grandma for, I think, my whole life, right around there.
Well, something like that. I think so.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Uh-huh. You're my father's mother, I guess, until we do some testing to really find out what's going on. Anyway, thanks for coming. We wanted to talk about, I thought one of the best guests I could ever have would be my grandma, because not only you've seen a lot, but you know me very well. And you got a lot to say about a lot of different things, including your favorite president, Donald Trump. I'm just kidding. We'll save that for later.
Yeah, please.
So one thing we always talk about is, you know, I don't know why, but we talk about racism a lot. Because it's fun to talk to you about it, because you were born in 1929, so you've seen a lot of... Well, let me ask you this. Is there a lot of change? Is this country pretty much the same in terms of racism back in the 30s and 40s, and you fast forward to today? Is it about the same, or has it gotten better, or what would you say?
Well, I would say it's gotten better. You don't have to go to a colored drinking fountain now. And you don't have to...
Did you ever have to do that?
Oh, yeah, especially bus stations and train stations.
You remember going to a colored water fountain?
Oh, yeah. You had to go to a colored restroom.
Did they have a half-breed water fountain for people like you?
No, but some were lucky enough to get away with it if they were lucky enough.
They could pass, is what they call it. They could pass. Okay.
You could go to Kresge's dollar store, and there'd be four seats at the counter for the blacks, and there'd be 20 seats for the whites.
You remember this?
Sure. I went there every day for lunch when I was working. That'd be my lunch hour.
Did you always think, man, this ain't right? Or did you say, hey, that's just how it is, whatever?
Some did participate in the... In their little
protest,
they make their little signs, but it didn't do any good.
So you were never cool with it. Like, hey, that's just how it is. You were never like that. You were always like,
no,
this ain't right. This has got to change.
I used to take your dad to the doctor, the dentist, and I'd have to sit in the room where they did the.
Where they threw away all the
all the blood and all that stuff, the making of the teeth and whatever you call that, lab.
Yeah.
I'd have to sit in the lab in an old airplane seat while all the other people would sit out
in the lobby.
Waiting room and wait their turn. I'd have to take him as a baby and sit back there and wait our turn, yeah.
Dang.
So
it's a big difference. Okay, because if you look at the news, you think it's 1855 the way people are acting. Yeah. Every time you turn on the news, this is racist. Oh, that's racist.
Oh, it's still very much alive.
But do you think it's being overemphasized in the media, or do you think it's...
No, I really don't. I think it's very much alive. It's only a different way. It's a different time.
So what kind of way is it? What kind of way is it still happening? Because if you're not being discriminated, where you have to go sit in the lab or sit in the four seats that they designated for black people, if you don't have to drink out of a water fountain, if you can vote, you still can get jobs, you can still go to cop. Like, where is the discrimination? Just because people say, hey, that's a nigger?
I think that the discrimination mostly... I would think would be jobs. I think there's many black people who are intelligent enough to have the intelligent jobs and don't have them. They're working in warehouses. They've been to college, just like the white kids. But the white kids will get those jobs and the black ones won't.
So you would argue that, let's just say you got 100 white kids, 100 black kids, or let's just say two of each go apply for the same jobs. They're going to give it to the white kids, not the black kids. You think that's happening right now?
Yeah, I definitely think so.
And what makes you think?
Right along as with women. Okay. I think there's the discrimination also is with women as far as the workforce is concerned.
What do you...
Black men are dominating.
Black men are dominating over women?
Yeah, as far as money, as far as... hourly wage.
That's crazy.
They're getting more. And there's other ways. There's other ways of the discrimination that I see, and some of that is police force. Not all. Some of these people they deserve what they're getting, but as far as these young children, that they're beating up and
shooting
and yeah. Killing and then this guy down here in Florida, he's in the news again.
Oh, the one that shot Trayvon Martin?
Yeah, he's in the news again.
What, he shoot another one?
Well, no, he's selling the
books,
the gun or something. I think he shot the kid with or something. You know, what kind of crap is that?
That's horrible.
You know,
he's also suing
Trayvon
Martin's
family. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. That's
horrible.
I mean, he killed the kid, their kid.
Right.
Now he's gonna try to sue the family, the kid's family. You know.
That's sick.
This kind of stuff needs to be taken off the street.
So we're saying it's still here, but it's nowhere near like it was.
Oh, yeah.
40, 50, 60 years
ago.
And, you know, as far as an even playing field, if that's what we want to try to call it, I mean, this country, man, if you look at this country from the origins to now, I mean, it's come a long way, but Europeans, they settled this joint. You know, they came over here, kicked the Indians out, made us work for free for a couple hundred years. Like, from that to where we are now, it's just night and day, I think. And I'm not saying it's perfect because it's nowhere near perfect. But I think the opportunities are enormous. That's why a lot of people still flock to this country. I don't know where else we're going to go to get a fair shake. Can't even go back to Africa now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been a lot of places in this world. I've traveled extensively. And I'd say when I hit New York or if I hit California, I'm the first one to get out and kiss the ground. Because, you know, it where places you go, you'd be surprised how you appreciate
right.
Bacon and eggs. You can't get bacon and eggs in France or somewhere, you know. You got to get all that crap that goes
with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And... So I do appreciate. There's nothing like this.
So we got a good out here.
Yeah, yeah. People living in tin houses and huts and kids in water that's been the water's been sitting there for
weeks
and months, and they had some of them are not sick because that's how they come up. They drink that stuff. They
this
play
is
it.
Europe you're talking about.
This is Europe.
See, that's crazy.
And this is islands. And
Yeah. This is, pretty much anywhere that ain't here.
Yeah, yeah. So we still have it pretty good.
You mentioned something a second ago about women not getting paid the same. So this whole Me Too thing, what's your take on that? You think that's a legit movement?
No.
Stop the press.
I tell you why. Because... A lot of these women are lying.
Trying to get paid.
A lot of them are lying. I think now Bill Cosby.
You think that's legit?
I didn't particularly like him because I do know.
You know some things. Stuff. Yeah.
But all those women.
Not all of them.
No.
Are victims.
No.
Yeah.
And I think the guys, they should pay for some of the things they did, especially giving them
drugs
and stuff like that. Because, you know, anytime you give somebody something that they can't think
they can't straight, think straight.
That's wrong.
Right.
But if I just know you and just met you and say, oh, I might as well get a piece of that, you know. You know, that's what's happening. Well,
I think we have to be, my personal opinion, and I'm not a woman, so maybe I should be able to speak on this, but I think it's a dangerous thing to just take people's word without even investigating. And that's what it seems like is happening.
Exactly.
You know, unwanted advances. I mean, basically, if you hit on a girl and maybe try something and she don't like you, you're in trouble. But if she likes you, you know, no problem.
It would take too many resources to follow up on each case of she said.
So how do you figure out who's legit and who's not? That's a tough one.
You know, there's a lot smarter people in the world than me. And so they need to get some of them and go into that thing because these women are lying.
But growing up, you've seen, I guess, because you mentioned earlier, a woman back in the day, if they fooled around, they better not say a word to nobody.
Mm-mm.
Or they get persecuted, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a different time for women now than it was back in, let's say,
1940s. Oh, sure. You know, you see on these game shows, these court shows, like, we're, what did they call it?
Divorce court?
No, what they're friends with benefits. This is how things go. This is 2019 and 20 and oh, you know, nobody dared say anything like that in 1950. Are you kidding?
Well, back then you told me y'all did some crazy stuff. Like you would have a baby and go to the bar and put the baby on the bar and everybody be in there drinking and smoking and
oh yeah,
wasn't nothing to it.
Nothing to it. Everybody takes care of the baby. My sister used to go to the grocery store, and we were in Kansas. It was cold. Nice sunny spring day come. You put the baby out on the porch in the little basket, and you'd say, hey, I'm going to the store. Oh, everybody, okay.
No way.
The neighbors would look after the baby or, you know, look out every once in a while because nobody was going to steal a baby, you know.
Wow. And it was just, you didn't even think twice, but hey, I'm going to go to the store and keep out my baby real quick.
I used to have to walk 6 miles to school. If anybody came along in a car and said, you want to ride? Yeah. Jump in. You don't know them, you know.
Get the heck out of here.
And they drop you off at school and go on.
6 miles? That's child abuse. How you going to make a kid walk 6 miles to
school?
Well,
I went
I
went to the best schools.
I don't know how
if I wanted to go to the regular school that was in my district, it was about
half a
2 miles.
Still?
Yeah.
6 miles, that had to take you 2 hours to get to school.
No.
Would you speed walk?
Yeah. No problem. Not a problem.
Was it really 6 miles?
It was 6 miles.
I think I'm going to drive that route when I go there.
It's
back
6 miles.
Kansas. That's crazy.
And most of the time I'd break it up because I could stop at my aunt's house
and eat or
play with the kids or something and then go home.
Was that an integrated school?
Yes.
Was it like 50-50 or was it?
No. It was mostly white. White school, but
your nephew said he believes in segregation. He thinks kids would have done better without integrating the school. Yeah, I was trying not to out him, but
he's a racist.
All right, so you don't agree with that? You think integration is a good thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I came up like that
in an integrated school system. He thinks black. Or integrated kids, segregated kids, they would do better because they're in schools where they care about
them. I know
that's
that
what his argument
I know that that is not true. I know that for real.
That they don't necessarily.
Because of Yadi, my daughter, and my niece. They came up in black schools. And my daughter went to college with, the black...
Angela Davis.
Angela Davis plastered all on her wall. And the white mothers of the other kids in the room, in the dorm, they complained about it. I had no idea. But she's out there.
That made them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Made them uncomfortable.
All this black power stuff.
And so I told her, you got to get rid of that. So she sent it home. And Pam, she would go, oh, these girls, they don't, the tub is not clean. And, you know, they're just, the hair smells. And
Because they had no exposure.
They had no exposure to the other world.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I did all my life.
And that makes a lot of sense.
And when we moved into another district, and my mother said, you're going to a colored school, I said, what color? Color what? I'm thinking actually it's a color.
The like school. A rainbow. Or
yeah.
Purple and green.
I had no idea.
Well, a lot of people, so your mom, so you're... I know that you guys think she was black, but she was a white lady, and your dad was a black guy. Growing up back then, that almost sounds like it's suicide for her to marry somebody. Because like, she was, in all intents and purposes, she was a white person when she walked around town, right? So you even mentioned one day you were walking down the street, and they said, what's she doing with that black baby?
Yeah. What's she doing? Because it should be the other way around, the black mammy with the white baby.
Right. So they were just dumbfounded. But your parents never hung out in public, you said?
No.
And they did it on purpose?
The only place they would go together would be...
slave auction.
No, they go to... they had friends that they played cards with, like maybe on a weekend, once in a while. But my dad would always be by himself. And my mom, she was a ceramic teacher. And she would go to the whites' seminars and classes and get all this stuff because they didn't teach it to, they didn't give it to the black neighborhoods.
Really?
She would go to these white places and seminars and stuff and get all the information and all the new stuff coming out. And bring it back to the black children, and she would go to churches and recreation halls and places and teach the kids what she'd learned from the.
So your dad couldn't go to those same places; they wouldn't allow it.
I don't know if they didn't allow it. I never saw that.
Okay.
But I know he was uncomfortable, and I know that they were uncomfortable because they never went together.
So they obviously didn't feel right going out in public together.
Yeah.
Because you don't remember going out as a family to, like, have dinner and then, like...
No.
Wow.
You only went to places who you where you knew the people.
It was going
to
be cool.
So
when you grew up, did everybody always ask you what's your nationality and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah. You got all the jokes, you know.
Oh, yeah, jokes?
Yeah.
What, zebra and all that?
Yeah, just anything pertaining to black and white.
Really? Yeah. I never even knew that. I know all these years.
Plus my grandmother, my father's mother, they were very racist.
That's right. They didn't like you because you were too light or something like that.
They didn't like me and they didn't like my mother. And they would tell my dad, why are you going up there eating that old white woman's cooking every day? You could eat down here. You eat here before you go up there.
That's true story?
We live behind them.
Did you hear them say that?
Yeah. And then when I started coming around a lot and grew up to listen and go back and tell my mom, they would speak pig Latin so that I wouldn't understand what they were saying about my mother.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
But my sister, she was maybe one shade darker than I. She was okay.
She was good. She passed.
Yeah.
She passed for full Negro status.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about your grandparents. Were they ex-slaves? Wait.
Yeah. I think my grandfather was. But I must say he was a doll. It was my grandmother.
She was the one tripping. She was a real
what was beef.
Yeah, I wonder what her problem was. And this is in Kansas City.
Edwardsville, Kansas.
Dang.
My dad had three sisters, and he had that were living. A 6-year-old died from
polio.
No. Tuberculosis.
Dang.
An 18-year-old died from tuberculosis.
Oh, my goodness.
And after that, it never occurred in the family again.
That's crazy. Never. So yeah. There was four of them?
Well.
Five?
There was five.
Okay, and they lost two.
And so the three girls and my dad, the one girl was maybe a wee bit darker in color than I. She was a wonderful woman. She liked my mom. She was funny.
Right.
Everything. The two other girls were very dark. And they hated my mother. And so the two dark girls and the grandmother, I fought.
Really?
Even as a child, you know. The grandfather, most beautiful old man in the world.
Your dad's dad.
Yeah. But this is how we had to come up. My sister was there's 8 years between us.
Right.
So we were not
close.
She had a boyfriend. I'm saying, oh, one of these days I'm going to be big so I can have one. And we were not close because we were too far apart.
Yeah, age.
But that's the way it was. And I was always with my mom and.
But see, it was interesting that growing up with you, because, you know, I've grown up with you my whole life. I don't remember really feeling a whole lot of racial stuff. I don't remember even talking about it a lot, which I think you did. I don't know if you did that intentionally or not. Probably because we also had a lot of other problems we worried about when we were growing up, you know, being shipped around, my mom going through all that stuff and having to move to Texas, Chicago, and all that. So we probably just didn't have, but I don't remember having a lot of conversations about that. And maybe it's because we were too young. Did you make a point?
Made it a point.
Okay.
Especially with you.
Why is that?
Because you were the one who,
well, I got teased.
Unknowingly, was the one that felt the most. But you didn't know it. You didn't know it.
I didn't know what I was feeling?
No.
I just felt something?
But I knew. I knew it.
Well, I mean, I got teased a lot because I was the darkest one.
Yeah, and you felt it very much.
Probably, I don't know.
And and that's why you started doing comedy stuff about that. I remember, I'm going to tell this.
No, I don't
care. It's nice.
It's good. I don't care. We know how to edit.
But one day we were at the beach, and you and I, because I don't know how I always got you. You were always at the car. And I was taking your hand, and you pulled away from me, and you said, "Why would you want to be seen with me?"
Dang, you sure this is a true story?
This is a true story.
This wasn't no dream.
No, this wasn't no dream.
What?
Yeah. Dang. Or something to that effect.
Something to that effect.
And I said, come on here. And I took your hand. And I knew then that there was something that you were feeling.
Wow.
And that I had to make you come out of and say, hey, you know, I don't care what color I am. I'm just as good
maybe
as anybody
I was just
else.
Had a, my outfit wasn't all that good or something.
Well, it could have been. That could have been.
Yeah, I probably had.
But I can't see. I
hear you. How old was I? Like 5, 6? What?
Yeah.
Dang.
Very, very young. Very
That's
young.
That's creepy.
Very young.
Yeah, no, I, you know,
And
I don't remember anything like that.
And I don't remember that happening with the girls. And I don't remember that happening with the other boys.
Interesting.
And Jerry, I had...
My brother.
Yeah. I had problems with him because he... I think he's somewhat, maybe a wee bit psychic.
like a fortune teller?
Well, yeah, he knows. He feels things before they happen.
Interesting.
Yeah. And we talked about it for some time, and then as he started getting older, he...
He talked about what? Being black?
No, about things that he would think see. About or see. Or,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or have visions. Premonitions.
Yeah, and, okay. You know.
And then after a while, we didn't talk about it anymore. But I think he has premonitions of things.
Still.
Which is not unusual.
Still, huh?
Yeah, because my mother was like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All the stuff comes out in the podcast. I didn't know none of this stuff was happening.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother was like that.
I remember, I'll never forget when you told me, and we were sitting in your living room. You said something to me that blew my mind, and I had to prove you were wrong. By the way, you said, "Well, Leonard, I mean, come on now, white people are smart now. You know, white people they know what's going on, like we don't know what's going on." And I said, "What did this lady just tell me?" And so I went on a mission. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I went on a mission to prove that just didn't make... I just couldn't... That didn't register in my head that white people were superior in terms of...
This is what I meant by that.
Oh, you remember that conversation?
Yeah, I remember. But this is what I meant by that. When Yeti was in Cal Lutheran up in Thousand Oaks, they had a protest at Reseda, the college there. Yeah. They took this whole floor, and they didn't want any white kids on that floor. And I said to Yadi and Althea and some of the, one of about five blacks in that whole college at that year.
Right.
I said, "Who in the hell do you think you gonna work for when you get out of here? How many black people do you think is going to have businesses for you to come to work?"
That makes sense.
I said the ones that have the money are not making it possible for you to work for them. They're keeping their money, the black ones. I said all these athletes has got all this big money. Are they opening any businesses for you?
Yeah, excellent points.
You know,
right.
This is what I meant.
Okay.
Is that where the hell are you going to go to work?
Well, I'm glad you said what you said, because I was able to find out a lot about Africans, black people, whatever you want to call them, that I never knew existed. And I think this is criminal that they don't teach this in school. But what I found out was, I found a few things out. Number one, I found out that certain parts of Africa, deep in Central Africa and East Africa, they had the earliest medicine, architecture, technology, and they used to dominate a good part of the world, including parts of Europe. I didn't know any of this stuff. And then I later find out that, you know, over time, the Europeans was able to, you know...
Take it away from them.
Well, that's how it works in human civilization.
That's why I said the white man was smart.
Yeah, but Asians ran the world for a little while. The Mayas,
they
the
weren't
Aztecs.
Black. And I'll tell you something else. The blacks who do have a lot, the blacks who do share and give people jobs, they're very few. Most of them, a Jew guy told me this, when I was 16 years old, running an elevator after school.
You ran an elevator?
I ran an elevator after school. And he had one white person, Jews, and two blacks. Me and whatever her name was, two elevators. He said, "I don't hire white people." He said, "Because They don't give us anything. He said, and you, as black people, you never have nothing, because every time you see a black person on the second rung of that ladder, you're going to start pulling them down so he can't get to the third one.
This is a Jewish dude telling you this.
And he is a Jew guy. He owned a furrier, expensive fur store. And he said, and every time you pull back down, he said, if I don't have an item that this lady wants, he says, I send them down the street to Harsfeld's, because that's my buddy down there. He said, if you don't have an item that this person wants, you'll say, don't go nowhere else, come back Wednesday. Come on back Wednesday, we'll have it, you know.
He's saying that's how black people are.
And if you look at it, that's how they do.
No, they still do that to this day.
Yeah.
But historically, I'm talking about historically, modern day, yeah. Right now, yeah. But historically, it's not the fact that, first of all, everybody comes from Africa. I don't know a lot of people even knows that. You know, every human being came from the same place. They don't teach that in school. The first thing they teach kids, my biggest problem is what they teach kids. Kids grow up with a complex about being black. And white kids probably don't even think about it at all, because they don't really have to in this country. But a lot of the black kids grew up with a complex because the first thing they teach them in school about their skin color is that slaves. They come from slaves. That's the first thing they teach them. They don't teach them that our skin, if they have to talk about why our skin color is different, maybe we should touch on the fact that, you know, people migrated from Africa. They went to different regions in the world. Sun exposure, climate, and all that played a role in their skin tone. None of that's even brought up ever in school.
Hell.
Only thing they learn about is you are a slave. That's why you look like that. So they grew up fighting that the rest of their life.
I came up in white schools, and the only thing we knew about black was Little Black Sambo in the first reader.
With the white lips, right?
In the first reader, and his girlfriend had red ribbons on these little braids.
And Sambo's girlfriend.
Yeah, I think it was his girlfriend.
And she's black as night too.
Yeah, that's all we knew. We knew nothing about Booker
T. Washington
and all them dudes. Nobody knew about that. And we knew the flag. We did every morning. We knew the prayer every morning. But everybody else was who invented the lights, and you know.
What's your take on Black History Month then?
I think it's good.
I think it's the worst thing you could do to relations in this country. I'll explain.
How else will you know what these people did?
Absolutely. Put it in the history books.
Well, you
put
know
it right
what?
Next to George Washington and everybody else. Just put it in the history books.
They didn't want to.
Well, they could do it now. We fought for Black History Month. Why don't we just fight to get it in the history books?
Okay. Well, how come it's not being fought for now?
Because they, what's the word? When you feel satisfied, they placated them. Say, oh yeah, we'll give you a month. Yeah, thank you. I'll take that. But that's making the matter even worse. Just put the stuff in the history book. Stop singling somebody out because
they're... How come you didn't say this in 1950s and 60s when you fought for everything else? Why wasn't it...
I don't think we were thinking about it, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I wasn't around back then.
This is 2020. And you mean to tell me all these years you haven't thought about it?
I think it's over time we just got brainwashed. But like all these Yes and Massa movies, you won't watch Roots.
No,
you won't watch it.
I won't watch it.
You won't watch probably 12 Years a Slave, none of that stuff.
I won't watch it.
Right. But a lot of black people think, oh, we gotta watch this. This reminds everybody. No, it's brainwashing people to look, here's what these movies tell you. Hey, you see, this is what life could be like for you. Because you look like that. This is life. You know, so you better be glad you can, you know, walk down the street.
But yet and still, nobody will go up there and fight to put Booker T and him and many more people. I buy stamps now. I buy a bunch of stamps with people that I never heard of before. Ralph Smith. I forget who in the hell he is now, but he's a history, a black history person, you know.
He's another black person that beat the odds because he was black. I'm tired. Look.
So why hasn't anybody fought to have him recognized?
I think it's got to be brought to people's consciousness, and I hope a lot of people are paying attention. My biggest thing is this. I'm tired of always seeing, hey, this guy, he beat the odds. He's black, and he was able to do this. There's so much more history about Africans and black people, people of color, that don't always have to be about beating the odds, coming out of oppression. These black rulers and
it should be in the history books. It should be in the school
every
books.
Every time you turn around.
But nobody's fighting for that.
Because nobody's thinking about that. Because they're all happy to
How
have...
How come they're not thinking, Leonard?
I think because the narrative
Nobody's bringing it up.
Nobody's bringing it up. And I think there needs to be a movement. Because we're never going to stop having these racial issues. Racial issues, which I don't even think that's a word. We have different skin color. But
they should not. It should not even be a racial issue. It should be right along with Eli Whitney and all the rest of the people.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying. We don't need black history.
It should be black and white. It should be he invented this and he invented that. It should be all together.
That's right.
And you and it should be Sears and Roebuck. Why nobody knows about that?
What's that? Do we know about Sears?
What about him?
He sold tools and stuff. And shirts and socks. There's a dude that sold stuff in a store like Sam Walton, Walmart. Was he black too?
Yes.
Who? Sears?
No, Roebuck.
Roebuck is black?
Yeah.
Did you know that? I didn't know that.
Sears was white. Roebuck was black.
Well, Mom, the problem is we got Google. So it ain't going to take me 2 seconds to look at.
Roebuck sold his part.
But why do they keep calling it like, Roebuck?
For something like $10, you know, like not that less, but.
But his name stayed on it.
Yeah.
So, Alva Curtis Roebuck. Now let me look at a picture of him, real quick. He died in 1948. He was born in 1864. Nah, he's white as snow. Good thing we checked this before.
Okay, so look at Sears then. But what?
Sears is, I'm sure he ain't no brother.
Let me see Roebuck.
There's Roebuck. Unless, you know.
Well, this is a bad story that's been going along for 56 years.
It'll take time. It don't take much to look up stuff nowadays. So that's Roebuck. Sears.
Roebuck was supposed to be in black.
Richard Warren Sears. Yeah, here he is.
Yeah. It was Roebuck.
White man.
It was Roebuck.
I looked at both of them. They're both
Yeah, I see.
So anyway, that's...
Well, that's been the story in the black...
That's been debunked now.
Okay.
All right, so...
I'm glad to know that. I'm glad to know I've been telling this lie for years. Because that's what was told to me.
But the bottom line with that whole thing is we're never going to get past this if we keep making an issue out of somebody's skin color whenever we talk about anything.
Exactly.
If somebody is the first black whatever, don't even mention it. Hey, Obama won the presidency. Congratulations. Like, we can't make it always seem like it's a great feat that this person did this because they're black. It's ridiculous.
But it is. Like Obama. The first time I ever seen tears in Jesse Jackson's eyes.
He was mad because he didn't win.
Well, that could be true, too.
But now, N-word. We're running out of time, okay, so I want to ask you about N-word. That. How do you feel about the word nigger being used? Now, there's two different words, nigger and nigga, I guess. Rappers use, you know, black people use nigger.
Dave Chappelle says nigga.
Richard Pryor said it too.
Dave Chappelle says, "You niggas owe a milk bill."
The nigger family. Yes, that was awesome. But do you have a problem with it? Do you have a problem with white people?
I.
Like if Mike says, "Yo, what's up, my nigga?" Would you be cool with that?
I would be cool with him.
I don't trip. I'm
but there are some that, yes, I'm not cool with.
Are you cool with every single black person saying it? No problem? Or do you have problems with some black people saying it?
I don't have a problem with black people saying it. I really don't.
I don't get that.
Well, I'll tell you why. I get it because I can tell
the intent behind the
intent.
Word. Okay.
Like, he's been around black people. I could tell that when he walked in the door. I didn't know his wife was.
Wow. Anything,
but I could tell. I can tell. I can tell. And if another white guy walks in, I can tell. I can tell. I can look and tell. Well, I've been here a long time.
Yeah, you can read it. Yeah. That's crazy. That you, so you can tell somebody's racist by looking at them?
Just about. Just about. And especially if they hear them speak. And you can tell, you can tell so much by a person's eyes. If you watch a person's eyes, and especially if you're in their company 15 minutes, you can tell.
That's amazing. Watch the mic, by the way. No, you're just hitting it. So that's very interesting. Well, the reason why I bring that up, because every rap song, they're hits too, by the way. They're not just in the community, in the hood.
I don't approve. I don't approve of all these nigga rap songs. Okay. Because it's going out.
All over the world.
All over the world.
So now you got kids in Sweden rapping along with these songs.
Yeah.
And they say nigga, nigga, nigga.
And they don't even know. Half of them don't even know what it means in the United States.
So let's look at that. So these kids are saying it all over the world, don't even know the history.
No,
wouldn't it be cool to take the sting out of that word? Wouldn't it be nice to take the sting out?
Okay, Trump, come on.
That ain't got nothing to do with Trump. I've been seeing that way before Trump.
You can't take the sting out of it. You can't take the sting out of it. It's because it's who's saying it. And the rap song should not have the B's in it, should not have the N-words in it, because it's going out into young ears.
Impressionable minds.
Yes.
So you mean to tell me, let's say 10, 15, 20 years from now, people use the N-word all the time and it doesn't bother anybody, that's not good? It doesn't bother anybody.
Okay, let me tell you how I feel about it, and then I'm through with it.
Okay.
He's a white guy, and he was raised by his mom, and he was raised by his prejudiced grandmother, and his grandfather was, like, super prejudiced. Super. How do you think that kid...
You can read a lot off of looking at somebody.
You think that kid is going to grow up? He's not going to forget what his grandmother and grandfather and his mother's taught him because they loved him and they taught him all the right things. So how are you going to come and say, I'm okay because I say I'm okay, I'm your friend? My grandmother and them said, y'all cut and shoot people. So I know that's right. So, you know, I'm going to join the KKK because that's what my grandfather taught me.
I mean, look, I hear you. I just think it'd be nice 50 years, 100 years from now.
Ain't going to happen. I'm going to tell you what a guy told me one time. He said it's all going to be over. The races will all be over when we're all the same color.
I don't agree with that. That's crazy. We all got to be the same color for us to not trip.
Practically all the same color. That's when racism will be over. And I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I believe it.
Well, I would have to respectfully disagree with that. I think that guy's smoking crack. And crack is a good...
Well,
depends on what kind of crack you get. It could be pretty good.
It could be. Well, a white guy told me that.
Oh, a white guy told you that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he don't know what he's talking about.
Because she has met
someone who was enslaved in this country.
My great-grandmother.
This is what I'm talking about.
Wait, your great-grandmother?
My great-grandmother.
She was alive when you were a kid?
Yes. She died at 105.
No, go ahead.
According to the Bible. They had no birth certificate.
So they wrote the date.
According to the Bible, she was 105. She had a sister. This is Grandpa's mother. My mother's...
Anderson's mother.
My mother's father's mother.
Right.
She had a sister. The sister had a baby by the slave master, John Wesley Anderson, who turned out to be a very famous person. He was one of the founders of
the baby. When he grew up?
Yeah.
Okay.
He turned out to be one of the founders of Meharry Medical College.
Wow.
I met him, but I don't remember him that well. But I do attend his grave. I go to Kansas every year, and I attend his grave.
This is your grandmother's sister's son? Your great-grandmother?
Yes.
Great-grandmother's sister's son?
Yes.
Okay.
And he opened a practice in Dallas. He owned all the buildings downtown. The address was 1718 Jackson
Dang.
Street.
Wow.
He married a woman who was what do you call a foster home kid.
Orphan.
Yeah. And his whole when this guy was born, he looked nothing like the mother. He came out looking just like the father. He was white. He had blue eyes. And when I met him, he was almost bald. And he had all this property. He was very.
How did he get to be so successful? Who raised him?
The mother raised him. The mother raised him.
This is post-slavery.
Post-slavery.
But sounds like she put him through school and everything.
The father sent him to school. The father sent him to school. But he didn't want nothing to do, you know.
So he seemed like he loved him from afar, sounds like.
Yes, yes. And he sent him to school, and... Cousin Johnny was a very rich, rich black person down there. So when he died, he told Cousin Pearls, he told her, he said, now, I want
Who's
the
Cousin
city
Pearl?
Of his wife.
Okay.
The foster child
yeah.
he married.
Yeah.
They had one daughter, and she was adopted. Ruth, I met her. And Ruth turned out to be a dope addict. So they had nobody to leave anything to. So he wanted the city of Dallas to have everything he had. Now, Weldon, my cousin, he's in Meharry, trying to be a doctor before he went to that the airplane thing.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah. He didn't help him do nothing. He was just like Ku Klux Klan all in, within himself, but he was a black.
Well, he appeared not to be black.
They had antique furniture. They had everything in this Dallas home. I've been there. My mother used to go there 3-4 times a year because she and Cousin Pearl were good friends. And anyway, I was there one day, and the city of Dallas, some bigwigs came in, and she told me, she said, Lenore, you have to go. So she put me out of the house. She was something, but she wasn't white. She was mixed with something.
But she didn't get a hard time?
No, she wasn't.
She passed.
She wasn't black. she was mixed with something.
But she didn't get discriminated against?
No.
Okay.
And anyway, make a long story short, that's what happened. She gave all the 1718 Jackson Street and all that.
To the city?
Yeah. She gave it all to the city. Because that's what, whatever he wanted, she wanted. And that's what she did. She gave everything. And they did one thing. They named an elementary school after her, Pearl Anderson. So I tell you what I did. About 3 years ago, I went to Kansas City and some vandals had gone into the graveyard because it wasn't well taken care of. And they knocked over a bunch of headstones. So I decided I would write to one of the papers, newspapers down there. I said, this man gave your city all of this property and everything, and it seems to me that you all could
at least
keep up the grave site, you know. Now, I don't know what happened.
You don't know, yeah.
But
you didn't get a response.
The next year, I went there. All those graves that had been
vandalized,
not his plus, they had been redone with smaller gravestones, but they were all new in there.
Thanks to you.
I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like it, which is a
just
great thing.
Just in his little area where they had mutilated all those stones.
Headstones.
They had replaced them with, you know.
So you're trying to make a point that this person didn't give anything, any of his resources to any family.
No family.
He gave it to the city.
He gave Wesley, my other cousin who was a surgeon. He gave him some antique doctor's tools. You know, like stuff they
for
work
surgery.
With. Surgery tools as a gift.
That's it. You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed like back in the 40s, 50s, even the 60s, black families were pretty much intact versus today. Would you agree with that or no? Like, you look at today, the daddy's in jail, he's out running the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Gang banging and stuff.
Yeah.
Back then, it seems like it was more of a family unit.
Yeah.
So the argument that I hear sometimes, oh, slavery, you know, black people ain't really recovered from that, that's not necessarily the case. Would you agree or no?
No, the parents pretty well stayed together back then.
Back then. I think what happened was the introduction of the crack and the drugs in the neighborhood. I think that's what shattered.
Well, yeah, because the United States government didn't do anything about it as long as it was in the black areas and the Mexican areas and the color areas. As soon as those rich white kids out there in Beverly Hills or even anywhere, as soon as those kids started, then it became a problem.
You talking about most recently with the whole
opioid? I'm talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years ago.
We talking about Nancy Reagan say no to drugs?
Yeah, way back then. That's when they started looking at it.
Because cocaine was big in the affluent neighborhoods. Crack was big in the hood.
Well, the cocaine started with the people who had a little money.
Right.
But once they started learning how to make the crack, which you could get for $5.
Right, that was in the hood.
That was in the hood.
Yeah.
And also, they had a lot of heroin addicts in the 40s and 50s because all the musician friends I had are new. They were all...
But that wasn't just black. That was everybody.
Well, it probably was everybody, but the white guys could work. The black ones couldn't work.
Why?
Billie Holiday.
We can't handle drugs?
No, they wouldn't let them in Carnegie Hall. They wouldn't let her work anywhere in a club.
Because
she was on drugs.
But they let the white people still work on drugs.
Yes, they worked.
I didn't know that.
And then they would take the black guys and they would put them in jail. you know, they didn't get help, like send them to a doctor.
Right. So going back to the destruction of the, I guess, black community, we would say it's more of a drug issue versus slavery sticking his ugly head in it. Like, in other words, the plight of the black man today is more because of, I would argue, the drug epidemic, that the cracks and all that stuff.
I never heard a word like opioid.
Opioid?
No, never heard.
Well, that's crystal meth and all that. That's up in, that's out.
Well, I'm just saying, you didn't hear. All you heard was a dope addict. You never heard an intelligent word, opioid. What the hell is opioid?
No, I hear you on that.
No, that dope addict over there, heroin, that's all you'd hear. But once those kids started using it, white kids started using it, hey, it became an epidemic and it became health problem. A health problem. But all those years back in the 50s, there was nothing, because Trump's buddies, all the mafia people back there in New York, said, if we catch you giving it to our kids, we'll kill you.
Really?
You peddle that stuff and peddle it in that black neighborhood. And that's exactly what happened. White kids didn't get it. And then as mafia started going down, and white kids said, oh, shit, what is this? This is pretty good, I think, you know. And then it started spreading into the white neighborhoods, and then it became a epidemic.
Well, I had to take issue with some of that, because the whole anti-drug effort started back in the 80s. This is nothing new, you know.
What about the 60s and the 70s? That's when it became really bad.
60s and the 70s is when it started tearing up the neighborhood. Yes.
The black neighborhood.
Right. I agree.
But it wasn't a problem.
Well, because it was new.
Put them in jail.
It was a new thing.
No, it wasn't.
It was a new thing.
They've been doing drugs since the 30s.
Yeah, but it wasn't destroying the neighborhoods.
It wasn't destroying the white neighborhood.
It wasn't destroying the black neighborhood. You just said in the 40s, the families were intact. You know, they had...
As your dad always talked about Fifth Street was full of heroin addicts.
Well, he said he sitting there drinking and playing pool all night. I don't remember him sitting there doing drugs.
Well, he wasn't old enough.
So you're saying it started, well, I think the 60s and the 70s is when it started being a real big problem.
Yeah.
And the neighborhood started being destroyed in the early
80s. Because I know those people couldn't work. They couldn't work in the clubs. They couldn't make a living because they were sick.
Are you happy with how the country's turning out in terms of from what you started seeing when you were younger to today? Are you happy? Are you, like, proud of the country?
Well, what can I say? But yes, because it's better.
Okay.
But it should have happened a long time ago.
You see it getting, you see it continuing to get better? Do you see it?
No, it's not continuing to be better, because I think there should be laws on some things, like these producers and... people with these movies and these, what do you call them? What the kids do?
The YouTube videos?
No.
Social media? The kids are doing. Snapchat? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, all the screen all the time.
The kids being on the devices all the time?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to make things...
because I could see that when it first started. All these games, the killing, how many can you kill, and this...
You think that plays a role in the shootings?
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Fortnite and all that stuff?
Look at these two little young girls kill their best friend because they were doing what Slender Man wanted them to do.
What was that? I don't know if I know about that.
It's a video game. That's what I'm trying to say. Video games. They should not let them make video games with violence.
Well, that's been happening since I was a kid.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Look how many kids since you were a kid.
I don't see that ever changing. That's going to be tough.
I can drive a car because I drive it on video. And they get in their parents' car and they drive it down the road and run in the river or the ditch or something.
Right.
I can drive a car. I drive every day.
What's the difference between that and when I was a kid playing video games? I don't understand. I played Fight Tekken and all these other games.
You don't know what child. This is the child.
Right.
Maybe that, I can do that. I can kill. Baby, I got mad at him yesterday because he called me a name. I killed that one.
What's the difference between...
I killed that one on video yesterday. Maybe I can kill him for real. See, you never know what a child's mind is like, whether it's a game or maybe I can do it later on.
So you're saying a lot of these shootings we're seeing are a result
gives these kids
You know
ideas.
Who else said that?
Mm-hmm.
Your president said that.
Huh?
Your president said that too.
Well, he's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just putting it out there.
He's right.
He said it's too much of that on in
when it first started.
Games
the, that very first one. What was the very first video Xbox?
PlayStation, Nintendo.
PlayStation.
Sega.
It was something on there.
Call of Duty, all that stuff.
It was something on there where they were killing people. And that was the very first one. I said, uh-uh.
Well, I mean,
bad
look,
news.
You see a lot of these politicians, they talk about gun control and all that. Speaking of politicians, we got an election coming up. Who are you leaning towards so far?
Top Star.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. What is it that you like about Tom Steyer? I don't even think half people know who that is. Isn't he an ex? He's a billionaire. Mm-hmm. From selling coal, I think it was. And now he's a huge energy advocate. Mm-hmm. He's a huge environmentalist or whatever, which is kind of a conflict. He made his billions off of coal, and now he's fighting coal. Did you know that, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
You probably didn't know that.
I know some things about him. I don't know a lot about him.
And I don't think he has... So you were watching the debate, and you're like, I like that guy.
I've been looking at him maybe like 2 years.
Interesting. I didn't know he got in the game kind of late, too. I think he was running petitions trying to do impeachment or something.
Yeah, he's been putting out a lot of stuff online.
But is there anything in particular he's saying that makes you go, I like what he's saying?
I think he's already rich. Well, we know that.
Yeah, he's
billionaire.
So is
Trump. But
right.
I think his mind is, I think it's on the opposite of Trump's, I think. I would think he's something like Microsoft.
What's Bill Gates?
Name? Yeah.
In his thinking.
That's who I think he's something like.
I got you. Out of all the, you've seen probably 10 presidents since you've been alive, you probably didn't know anything until the 40s, I'm assuming. You're born in 29, so you probably didn't pay attention until you're probably a teenager. Like, when you were a teenager, who was the president? Eisenhower? Truman?
No, first one I remember, Truman.
Truman.
Truman, and I remember Roosevelt.
Jeez, that's way back. So, out of all the presidents you've seen over the years, who would you say is the best in your lifetime? Best president we've had. Give me the top three.
Clinton,
number one.
That
would be the one, number one out of the three.
Well, actually, I kind of liked Eisenhower. I kind of liked him. And Truman. Now, Truman was a lot like Trump.
Really?
He was
outspoken.
Like, yeah. But he wasn't a dog. He wasn't. Yeah, Trump is a little dog.
He's a New Yorker. You told me when I was a kid, you said New Yorkers tell you like it is. They don't pull no punches.
That's right.
They say, I don't like you.
That's right.
Bleep you, blah, blah,
That's
blah.
That's right.
California people, hey, how you doing? Yeah, man, what's your number? I'll call you next week. What is it, 310?
It'd be cutting your throat at the same time. That's right. I did say that.
You said it. And yeah. I think about that every time Trump opens his mouth and tells you what he thinks.
Yeah, he stomped down New Yorker.
That's just who, you know. So why are we so surprised when we see him just say what's on his mind? Like, you and I got stuff that we got on our mind that we wouldn't just say out in public because you don't want to offend people. You don't want to, you know, cause a whole lot of, you know. But he don't have that filter. He just puts it out there.
He can't do that, not and be who he is. He could be that and be you, him, me. He can be the mayor.
But who says that?
He can be somebody, but he can't. You can't do that. You've got too many people looking at you.
As an example,
you're somebody.
I hear you.
You're somebody to worship. You're somebody that, I want to be like him when I grow up.
But who? You know? Who
that, wants to be like that fool?
But who that possesses that ability? Who wants to be president? Because being president, you got to deal with constant scrutiny. You got to deal with. I mean, you got to deal with so much. So many people who are qualified in that regard don't want to be president.
Leonard, all I got to say is you got to watch your language. If you're a president of anything, if you're a president of, like we told Jerry, if you're a president of a company, you've got to watch your language if you want to get an employee, I mean, a good employees, or a customer. You've got to watch yourself.
I agree with that. That's no debate
there. In the public, you can't be out there and be yourself.
I'm feeling what you're saying. The only thing I would say on that is, if you are able to achieve your goals and still be that way, what's going to cause you to change?
Nothing. You ain't going to change.
Yeah, because you're making progress. It's hard to... You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it type situation.
Yeah, the more they let him do, the more he's going to do.
Right. So
it
why
ain't
would
all
he...
about Russia and all that crap. It ain't all about
they,
that.
That's not why they don't. They don't like who he is.
Right.
Right.
He's not president of the United States material.
As far as they're concerned.
As far as the Constitution...
The Constitution don't say nothing about don't be outspoken, just for the record.
Constitution don't say nothing about walking around calling people ass faces and stuff like that, you know.
But the Constitution don't say you can't do that. So you can't bring the Constitution into it.
He has no...
filter.
There's another word. There's got to be another
class.
Word.
Class? Tact?
Oh, no, he definitely had no class. No class.
Let me ask you this. Let's just say all the things that you want done from a president, he kills it all. He does a great job, but he still has that jerk, you know, behavior. Would that be okay with you?
No, because he's always trying to beat somebody. He's always trying to look to see what he can get from under here.
But what if he's doing it to your benefit? You okay with that?
He's not. His only benefit is him.
No, but I'm saying, what if it benefits you, him doing all this stuff? If it benefits you, you okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay, so that's the point I've been trying to make.
But I know, but it's not right.
Well, America has a history of not being right, but we get what we want.
This many people he's doing benefiting, but all these people over here are suffering.
Well, hold on, because every indication, unemployment, 50-year low for everybody, record lows for minorities, okay, wages for the low earners, not upper management, not white collar, wages have gone up for blue collar folks.
And when it drops?
When it drops, then we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
No,
yeah, but
no.
That's
when it drops, it's going to...
Maybe, but it hadn't dropped yet. So,
and those over here is going to go all the way down.
See, but you're talking about what might happen. We have no idea. I'm talking about what we do know right now. And what we do know right now...
Well, we knew that when he went in, because he told us how long. He actually told us. I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember. So I'm not even going to talk about it. I ain't going to speak on that because I can't remember.
I just hate to see people vote against their best interest. I hate to see people vote against their best interest. Like, I know if we vote for certain people, they're not going to be able to do good trade deals, not going to be able to negotiate certain things. They're just not going to be that good at it. And that's, you know, I know that. Just from listening to certain people's rhetoric, like Elizabeth Warren, people like that, they're not going to know what to do in a meeting with China or, you know, Iran or whatever. I just don't see it happening. Now, I do like this one guy. My son told me about him. His name is Andrew Yang.
Yeah.
He might be.
Christian and I have both been looking at him.
I kind of like that dude because he's comes from a business mind, too. He comes from that business thing, but...
You know, people like Cory
Booker
and people like
Kamala.
Like Kamala, whatever her name is.
Let me tell you something.
And, the Warren lady.
Yeah.
Bernie's too damn old. You know, he's way too old.
Hey, and that's age discrimination.
Yeah, it is. But I'm just telling it like it is. In my opinion.
Right, no.
Those four people, I don't see. I don't see them.
Yeah. I'm...
Now, Biden, they tried to talk him into it the last time. You know, they really wanted him. I don't think he really wants to be. I don't think he really wants to be.
Really?
You know, he used his son's death the last time.
Yeah, right.
And but I don't think he really wants to be. But
you think he did anything shady by letting
they all do something shady. Every one of them. You know, but you...
That's the name of the game. Just don't get caught.
Just don't get caught. But my thing is, how am I going to go way outside of the rim and get somebody to come in and help? You know, because he could probably go... He could probably buy some of them countries.
Who's that?
Trump. He could buy some of them and say, send your president. Because and say he did, and so-and-so did so-and-so. He could buy them for, what, $200-$300? the people so poor, that like you call them shithole countries. That, you know, he could probably go over there and buy them to come and...
Yeah.
To come and say that did something.
Would you agree that there's so much going on out there we have no clue?
We have no clue.
We have no clue about it.
No.
So, yeah. No, it's interesting how this whole thing works. But I think...
It's a movie. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's a movie.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out, though.
It ain't know how it's going to turn out. Trump ain't going nowhere.
You going to have another black president before in our lifetime?
No.
That was it? Did Obama hurt our chances or did he help?
He helped be the one. But these people who are white supremacists and all the cousins and brothers and sisters of them, the other organizations, they have been like this for 8 years.
During Obama's.
They can't talk. They can't do it. Because Obama is a black president. They were so glad when that cornman got out of there so they could cut out and breathe. We can say it now. Come on, everybody.
You mean to tell me you think these white supremacists held their breath until Obama got
That's
out?
That's all they could do.
But what? How did that help them by waiting for him to get out of the office? That
now
don't make any
now
sense.
They can come out. Now they can do what they want to do. Now they can say what they want to say.
But why couldn't they do it then?
Because
it wouldn't have been accepted in
right.
Okay.
Probably, I guess.
Okay.
I could say that.
But now it's more acceptable.
Yeah.
You feel better. So you're okay with white
Trump
supremacists.
Trump has given them the okay. Come on out.
The okay for, but, okay. He's saying it's okay for y'all to come out and speak. Who is Trump saying it's okay to them? he's saying to those white supremacists, come on out now and speak?
Yes.
Because now everybody will listen?
No.
That don't make any sense.
Nobody. That, no.
I'm trying to understand.
They would come on out and speak because we'll make you listen to us now. And we have some kind of ground to sit on, to stand on, because we have a president that's behind us. We had nobody behind us.
But the country's not going to automatically accept their behavior.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
So the country that elected Obama twice is now ready to listen to some white supremacists because Trump is president.
I think Obama did give them something. But we talking about down there in the Appalachians and all around down in there. They didn't want Obama. They don't want Obama in there. But I think he gave them something like that insurance thing or whatever.
He gave them more
welfare.
They voted for him.
Yeah, more welfare, this, that, and the other. But they still had them grandmas and them grandpas who taught them.
But they still voted for him. Guess who else voted for him? Caroline's grandma.
The one that didn't want the little black baby on her knee?
Yes. The one who wouldn't shake my hand when I first met her. The one who said, that's not my granddad, you know.
Yeah.
She ended up voting for Obama.
Oh, no, that's my opinion. I think they have more leeway now than they did with Obama. Because they do have a president that goes into their territory, and he pushes them up.
He empowers them, so to speak. Well, he needs their vote.
That's what I mean.
He needs their vote.
Yeah, and he's gonna get it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. That's a tricky one. Well, we're out of time, Grandma. I appreciate you coming in, and hopefully we can do this again. Anything, any shout-outs you want to give to, like Reggie down there on Fifth Street, anything like that? By the way, doesn't she look great for 90 years old? Yeah, yeah. Half black don't crack. Black don't crack, sorry.
I'm used to that.
See, the jokes you can't even get away from with your own grandkids. All right, thanks, Grandma. Thank you guys for listening and watching, and remember... NoHalfStepping.com.
Anytime. I got 1,000 more stories I can tell you. I'm glad to learn about Sears and Roebuck.
Yes.
I was mistaken on that.
I'm here to help you, educate yourself. Anyway, all right. Peace out, y'all. Grandma, let's go get some lunch.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the No Half Stepping podcast. I'm Leonard Jackson. This has been a Laugh Bureau production in association with Leonard Jackson Incorporated. Produced by Sean McBride. Engineered, edited, and produced by Michael Green. Music by Quarks.